Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. I know things are kind of weird right now, but I hope that you're at least feeling good. Hope everyone in your family and your friends, hope everyone is staying healthy, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Okay, so tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow is actually a national day of the year. And when I tell you what it is, I swear you're going to think that I made this up. I didn't make this up. Tomorrow, June 25th, is National Leon Day.
What?
Now, you might hear that and you might think, Leon who? We've had some great Leons in the world sports. I mean, you think of someone like boxer Leon Spinks. I mean, he was a heavyweight champion. He actually beat Muhammad Ali toward the end of Ali's career. You think of former NFL player Leon Lett. And I know that Lett is remembered, well, for some of his bloopers or whatever, but he was a really, really talented football player. Maybe Leon Searcy, Leon Washington, Leon Day, Leon Sperling, Leon Smith, Leon Price, and of course, Leon Black.
I brings the ruckus to the ladies.
But that isn't actually what National Leon Day is. It's not to honor famous Leons. Are you ready for this? Bet you're not ready for this. I'm just going to throw this out there right now. I bet you're not ready. But see, Leon is actually Noel spelled backwards. And tomorrow, June 25th, is exactly 6 months to the day away from Christmas Day.
That's terrible.
And there are some lunatics out there that actually start to get prepared for Christmas Day on National Leon Day. Not National Noel Day. National Leon Day. Either they start by, like, maybe shopping for Christmas. Maybe they start their shopping. Or maybe they start, you know, some of those crafts for, like, homemade gifts or something like that. Now, I don't know what is going to be happening in our world by Christmas time. I have no idea. No one does. Anyone who tells you they do, they're lying. But can I say this? I'm really, really glad that all of this pandemic stuff did not hit during, like, the holidays. Can you imagine the emotional scarring we would all have if it had? We would be like that girl in the movie, Gremlins. Remember the girl? We had the girl from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She told the nerdy kid with the gremlin that her dad had died in the chimney trying to pretend he was Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. So now she was scarred completely for Christmas for the rest of her life. And remember, they didn't, like, hear him in the chimney. She said they smelled his rotting corpse.
You're disgusting.
That scene in Gremlins, like, Gremlins was kind of a fun movie growing up. That scene brought that movie to a grinding halt. Like, all of a sudden, you're just like, wait, what just happened? We're here to see, like, I don't know, kind of this weird little horror kind of comedy movie for, like, teenagers. And all of a sudden, we have this terrible, terrible dark story about this poor girl who's been scarred because her dad got stuck in the chimney on Christmas. I would have rather seen her dad actually being eaten from the inside out by the gremlins than hear that terrible story. Hey, we could have all been scarred as well had all this stuff hit, say, in mid to late December. Let's all be thankful that that didn't happen. So I don't know, maybe you want to go out and start getting ready for the holidays right now. I'm going to go ahead and hold off for a few more weeks. But today, National Leon Day, is exactly 6 months away from Christmas Day. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us, I don't know, how you're going to start getting ready for the holidays already. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And I know I've been telling you every week, but a lot of people are struggling in these weird times. If you're bored, if you just want to talk about sports, maybe you have a suggestion for the show, feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, remember, we do now place a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. So make sure that you go over to YouTube and check out the videos over there. Sometimes, maybe, I don't know, like this week, sometimes you get some exclusive content that you don't get anywhere else. You don't actually get it on the podcast, but you might get it on the video. So you got to make sure that you stop by and check that out. We appreciate everyone going over there and checking out the video that we're posting on YouTube every week. Hey, and as long as you are doing that online shopping, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. TeePublic is doing a ton of sales every single week because they know so many people are shopping from home. Hey, you can go get Daily Dose social distancing masks over there. You can go get sweatshirts, t-shirts, hoodies. You can pick whatever color it is that you want, a number of items over at teepublic.com. Just search Daily Dose when you get there. Scroll down until you find our logo, and there you can find a number of things with the Daily Dose logo on it. We've got a couple of different logos, actually, you can use. You can use our original logo. You can get gear with our iTeam logo on it. You can even go get our Faster Than Domestic Violence shirts over there. Couple of different things for you over at teepublic.com, so make sure that you stop by over there. Hey, today on the show, telling you right now, we've got something very, very different for you. We are actually going to be joined by a very special guest to talk sports and talk coaching, but you're going to have to trust me on this. It is something completely different, but I actually think you're really going to like it a lot. Trust me on that one. But we do have some sports news that we need to get to first. So let's go ahead and jump in. Last week, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says that the NFL and college football teams would need to emulate plans by like the NBA and Major League Soccer, where they would have like a bubble format, or they would need to consider not playing their season in 2020 because of the health pandemic. He told CNN that football players would need to be isolated from others and they would need to be tested regular. Here's what Fauci had to say. Unless players are essentially in a bubble, insulated from the community, and they are tested nearly every day, it would be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall. If there's a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season, football may not happen this year. I mean, it sounds like football, on the other hand, is like ready to move forward. So I guess we're going to see whether or not Fauci is correct in that. Staying in the NFL, it looks like Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott will sign his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender this week. So now the two sides have until July 15th to get a long-term deal together. The Cowboys had placed the franchise tag on Prescott back in March, but by signing that franchise tender, Prescott will be contractually obligated to report to training camp on time. Whether or not he gets a long-term deal with the Cowboys or not, he has to show up. But I mean, I guess you would think that by signing that tender, Dak is probably thinking a long-term deal is coming. He must, I don't know, have some people out there saying, hey, it's going to happen. Go ahead and sign it. They're going to take care of you. But I mean, the Cowboys, they're going to have to give Dak a ton of money. He's not giving them a hometown discount of any kind, because I'll tell you this, if he isn't insulted by them dragging their feet through this whole process, then I don't know, he's like the most forgiving man alive. If I'm him and I see the Kirk Cousins and the Jared Goffs getting all that money, oh, I'm going to be asking for more money than what they're getting. Looks like the Cowboys and Dak are going to come to... What's that? We've actually got some breaking news, apparently. Let's see what the what this breaking news is. Okay, we've got some more breaking news. Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now is saying that the NFL and college football seasons can definitely go forward with their seasons as long as everyone wears masks. Now, he says players, coaches, and fans in attendance all have to wear masks, and we should be good to go if they do. So, I mean, that's really, really good news, I guess. I don't know. Fauci seems to have changed his mind a little already, but whatever. I mean, that's great news. I don't know. First, he said that wasn't going to happen. Now, it kind of sounds like maybe it will. I don't know. We'll just move on. Let's jump over to the NCAA, where the NCAA announced it would be banning championship events from being played in states where the Confederate flag has a prominent presence. Now, we all know Mississippi is the only state that's going to be affected by this policy change. It's the only state that the flag continues to feature the banner of the Confederacy. It's got the blue cross with the 13 white stars. So the NCAA policy now includes all championship sites, including competitions like baseball, softball, lacrosse, women's basketball. The NCAA statement comes on the heels of SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey coming out against the Mississippi State flag last week when he threatened to not hold the conference's championship events in the state as long as the flag remains unchanged. We will not have championship games in any state where that flag is actually being put out. We all know it's Mississippi. Now, here's the question I have. I'm not really sure how much this affects anyone, because how many championships are really being played in the good old Magnolia State to begin with? It's not like we're holding the Final Four in Clarksdale. So, I mean, what difference does it... Hold on. We've got more breaking news? Okay, we have more breaking news. All right, let's bring on the breaking news. Bring me the breaking news. Let's see what this one has to say. Okay, we've got some more breaking news here. Let me read this. Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now says that the NFL and college football seasons must be canceled unless there is a ventilator on the sideline for every single player and coach on the team, as well as ventilators in the stands for every single fan in attendance. I don't know, that seems like a lot of ventilators, doesn't it? I thought we weren't doing the ventilators anymore. Didn't they pull the ventilator thing off? I don't think that's a thing anymore. I think they got rid of the ventilators. Fauci changes his mind a lot, is what I think I'm getting from this whole news segment. In fact, Fauci changes his mind more than, like, I don't know, LeBron James changes teams. I don't even know what to listen to with that guy anymore. He just keeps changing his mind. First, he tells us you don't need masks. Then he tells us you do need masks. Then he tells you you need ventilators. Then he tells you you don't need ventilators. I don't know what to believe from that guy, but I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to wait and see. Let's just hold up. Let's just wait and see if football season comes, because I think football wants to push forward no matter what Fauci says. Okay, coming back, we are going to do something we have never done before. We're going to be talking a subject that we have never talked before, because I am going to be joined by a new friend of the Daily Dose, and we are going to be talking about a sport that you might not expect. Today on the Dose, we are going to be talking with a former cheerleader and now a high school cheerleading coach. And you know what? She just understands youth sports. She just gets coaching. Yes, kids, we are going to be talking a little bit of cheerleading when we get back. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, I've got something a little bit different for you. I've got something, I'm going to be very transparent. I don't know that much about. Fortunately, she does, and she's going to help us through this process. So get ready, because I'm telling you, this is going to be interesting. We are going to learn things today on the Daily Dose, because Lauren Borgmeyer has been a cheerleader since her days in middle school. And after cheering in high school, she attended Wichita State University, where she cheered for the Shockers. During her time with Wichita, Lauren was a team captain and a member of the competition team that placed third at the UCA Nationals. She has now been coaching in Kansas, in Tennessee, and she is currently the head varsity cheerleading coach at Douglas County High School in Castle Rock, Colorado, where after completing her first year as the head coach, she received Continental League Coach of the Year for 2017 and 2018, as well as All-State Coach of the Year. I'm telling you, we've got a great guest today. Coach Lauren Borgmeyer, thank you so much for joining us here on The Dose.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting. And wow, what an introduction. Like, you pumped me up for that. So that's awesome.
Coach, I met you and we started just talking about just coaching, not really sport specific, just coaching. And I'm of the belief that in this country today, there is actually, and this sounds kind of weird, there is a drought of good leadership. I think that's been really, really evident through this entire pandemic for sure. We need good, strong leaders to lead when things get scary. And as a coach, that's what we have to do. That is what you have to do on your job. But I could tell within 10 minutes of just talking to you that instead of like the job title or, I don't know, some perceived power you have or whatever, trying to make yourself look good, the most important thing to you is your kids and teaching them life lessons. And so I wanted to have you on because I don't care if it's cheerleading. I don't care if it's basketball. I don't care if it's football. Teaching these kids how to deal with life is the most important job. And I can tell that that's important to you.
Yeah, it is. It really is. That's our number one goal.
Well, I wanted to have you on because you have some common sense and we value that here on the Daily Dose. But I've got to ask you a couple things first. How was it that you got involved in coaching to start? How did you go down that path?
Oh, that's a really good question. So when I was in college and I was cheering at Wichita State University, I was also working in the summers for the Universal Cheerleading Association. So with that, you kind of get connected with the cheerleading world, which is actually a really small world, which I'm sure the sports that you've coached and that you're in, you kind of realize, wow, you know this person and I know this person and that's how we've been connected. And it's just a small world. So while I was cheering, I remember getting a Facebook message and it was from a male coach in Wichita. And he was like, hey, I'm getting ready to leave my team. They're one of the best teams in the state. And I just don't want to leave everything I've built up and just hand it over to anybody. Your name was recommended by Anonymous. I'm not even sure who that was. And I would love to meet you, love to take you to dinner, maybe kind of hear some of your philosophies. And then at the very end of it, he was like, oh, and maybe see if you're actually interested in coaching. And I was like, what a weird, random message to get on Facebook. Yeah. So I was like, well, I'm really busy. I'm still a cheerleader at Wichita State. I'm in dental hygiene school, which is a crazy rigorous curriculum. And I don't know if I can handle the balance of all that. So we go and talk, and long story short, he eventually talks me into it. And I go to a open gym with him to kind of get a feel for the kids and meet the kids. And I couldn't say no. I just was like instantly drawn to these kids. And I remember one of the first girls at that practice kind of looking at me skeptically, was kind of like, so what are you doing here? Aren't you like 2 years older than I am?
Sure.
And I was. I was only 19.
Oh, wow.
I was only 19. And so that kind of started a new love of the sport that I hadn't had before. So that was kind of the beginning of it. That's where it all started. I coached at Wichita Collegiate Schools, which is a little private school in Wichita, Kansas, and kind of took off from there.
When you were growing up, maybe even in high school, did you have good coaches in your background? Who were your coaches growing up?
So my mom was my middle school cheerleading coach.
Oh, wow.
And I remember her saying, you know, I'm from a really small town. So my town is a population of about 2,500 people. And so you can imagine middle school cheerleading tryouts are everything. It's like they only take four. There's about 20 of you that try out. And my mom was the coach. So of course, I'm sure the town was like, well, Lauren's a shoo-in. Her mom's the coach. But my mom wanted to make it very clear that she had nothing to do with the tryout process. So I remember her going out of her way, making sure that she hired judges that she had never met in her life. She made sure she hired tabulators for the tryouts
okay.
to make sure she didn't, you know, like skew the scores or anything.
Sure.
Anyway, so I had my first middle school tryout. I go home and we get the text from the tabulators that the results are in. They're being posted on the south door and you can come up at any time and find out if you made the team. Well, my mom didn't want to take me up there with other girls showing up and checking to see if they made the team or not. And
ooh,
she had
yeah.
no idea if I made the team or not either. So she made me wait until 10 p.m. on like a Wednesday night. And I remember it was raining. And so it's 10 p.m. There's a long sidewalk all the way up to the school. And my mom and I pull up and park and we kind of look at each other and we're like, let's run. So we're running all the way up this really long sidewalk, all the way up to the doors. And my name was on the list. I had made the team. And it was like the most memorable, exciting thing ever. But it just cracked me up how out of the way my mom went to make sure that nobody could second guess why I made the team and that I had earned it on my own. So that was a lot of fun. But then being coached by her was a whole new challenge in itself. So she always stuck me in the back. I was always hidden or, you know, maybe pushed to the side. I could never call her mom at practice. It
sure.
had to be Coach B or Mrs. B. We had to essentially pretend like we weren't related for 2 hours a day. So I remember kind of thinking, this is so silly, but now I look back and I understand because I am from a small town where a lot of people talk and can have their opinions. And my mom wanted me to essentially show everyone that I had worked hard, I had earned that spot, and I was still very talented, but she was never going to showcase that talent unless it killed her. So
was she harder on you? Like, would you go home mad at her the way she had coached you, or were you pretty accepting of the coaching you got?
No, I enjoyed the coaching I got. She did not let up on me. She might have been easier on other athletes, but you know, I mean, you and I both kind of know this as a coach. You coach a kid kind of at the ability they're at, or maybe the mental strength they're at. Sure. I know there's some kids that I can crack down on and be super strict with. I know other kids, I have to talk to them a lot differently to make sure my message is coming through. So I think my mom knew that I could handle any intensity that she had for me, and I used it to make me better. Now, on the other side of that, my dad was also one of my coaches.
Wait, what did he coach you in?
He coached me in high school track.
Oh, wow. You got both parents. You had no choice. You had to be a coach.
Yes, this absolutely. This was beyond you. Absolutely. I was raised in it, around it. I was like 3 years old going to basketball practice with my dad and like watching practices. I would go with my mom to cheer practices. So yeah, I totally grew up completely in that world. And I remember my dad cracking down on me in high school, and it was different. It was different than how my mom would crack down on me. It was intense, and I knew where he was coming from, but because it was track and it was hot and you're tired, I sure. remember getting so, and probably because I was a teenage girl, but I remember being so frustrated with him at practices and definitely having an attitude from time to time to be like, you're just making this workout super hard because you hate me. And it's right. like, obviously that's not, obviously that wasn't the case. He wanted me to be good. And it worked because we were state runner up.
Oh, wow.
God. In like 2007, I think we, our girls track team, our 4x1, I was on the 4x1. We got state runner up. And then our girls track team as a whole were state runner up. So that's really cool because now I permanently have a trophy in the trophy case at my high school. So I feel like I did a little something back home growing up.
Well, sure. Wow. You had both parents coaching you.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you going home to uncomfortable dinners?
No, I think there would be some times where I would come home and like I had a routine. So I would get home all sweaty. I'd get in the shower. Parents would have dinner by the time I got out, and then I'd go do my homework. There were some times I remember being frustrated with my dad.
Yeah.
And typically by the end of the night, after I had kind of cooled off about a hard practice, or maybe I didn't do very well at a track meet, and my dad would go out to his garage and he would read his books. And he's a super genius man. So like he's out there reading all the time. So I would go out to the garage, you know, hours later, I'm finished with my homework. Maybe I'm watching a little TV, and I couldn't ever go to bed without knowing what I did to upset him or like talking about why he upset me. So I remember always going out to the garage, sit on the steps leading down to the garage, and he would always just close his book and we would get a talk. And I think we have a really great relationship because of that. If I ever needed to get anything off of my chest, he was so good about putting whatever he had in front of him aside and just listening. And I feel now, even just saying that, I feel as if that is kind of the relationship I have with my cheerleaders today. Sure. You know, I have a lot of the girls, I mean, you know, teenage girls, holy cow, they can talk. I will say after a lot of practices, if any of my kids have a problem or maybe something's coming up, they have no problem coming up to me after practice. And they're like, hey, coach, can I talk to you before you leave? And I'm so glad now, reflecting on me being able to talk to my dad, that I can just listen to them, whether it's about a boyfriend or school or parents or frustrations with practice or cheer and what they can do to be better. And it's always good to just have that open dialogue. And I am really grateful that I had that with my dad, even though I would leave so many practices just like, oh, he's making this really hard just to make me mad. Like I felt like he was out to get me. Isn't that what most teenagers think?
Of
like,
course it is.
And the world is out to get you.
And I think that's one of the things that as coaches, and I guess as adults, that we almost have to teach our kids. Kids don't always grasp the concept that a coach is correcting you because they have an interest in you. And that's one of the biggest things we have to kind of stress to our kids. If I take the time to correct you, it's because I think you can be better. You know when you need to get worried? When I don't correct you, because it means I don't even care.
Absolutely.
I hate to say, but it's true. If you have that kid that comes in that's the overachiever, but you know they're not going to make it, you're just like, okay, good job. All right, next. You're not going to correct them. The good ones, you have to hold to a higher standard. Now, coach, there's an old saying that a coach is only as good as their athletes. And I think we both know that that is absolutely true. If you've got great athletes, you're going to be a much better coach magically. Yes. But you also had better have really good assistant coaches too. You have a pretty special situation right now in your coaching career because you've got an assistant coach a little bit different than what anybody else might have.
Yes, it's an interesting dynamic. So yeah, my assistant varsity coach is my husband. And kind of the funny story with that is my husband and I met when I was in college. I was working for the Universal Cheerleading Association. We both tried out and kind of made that job together. I don't know if you know this, but
I know nothing.
Okay. So with cheerleading, you have tryouts. Okay. So for the Universal Cheerleading Association, they kind of host it like a massive cheer tryout. So they take the best of the best. So fortunately for us, me and my husband tried out on the same year and we both made UCA staff, which is one of the top, you know, achievements you can have as a cheerleader is to put on that staff uniform and then teach the best of the best.
Sure.
Not only in this country, but around the world. So my husband and I met that way and we kind of grew into this relationship around cheerleading. And I joke with him all the time, you know, what is our life going to be like someday when we don't revolve around cheerleading? And he's like, I don't want to know.
Sure.
So it's a lot of fun. It is interesting because I have a lot of co-coaches that, you know, introduce Scott and I, and Scott is the first one to be like, hey, she's the lady in charge. Like, she's the head coach. I just do what she says. And I'm like, oh boy. But it's good. It's a lot of fun.
Is that hard to separate at all? I mean, are you going home after competition and is there discussion of what just happened, or is there frustration with what just happened, or are you able to kind of put aside anything and just discuss, okay, here's what happened, here's what we need to do?
There's a lot of practices maybe where we both come home and we're frustrated.
Yeah.
So we drive from Castle Rock to Parker. And so we'll both get in our cars because we show up separately from our full-time jobs. And we run practice, we get in our cars, we drive home. And if there's like an irritating practice or a frustrating practice, we'll talk on the phone to each other as soon as we leave practice the whole drive home. And that's good because we say, let's get it out while we're in the car. So when we get inside, it's family time, it's baby time, and we're not going to talk about cheerleading the rest of the evening. So we do try to still have a relationship and a family outside of cheerleading, but it is very hard because we circulate it around it a lot. Now, I will say when we go to competitions, depending on how good or bad they do, we take a lot of film, as a lot of coaches do.
Sure.
We film almost every practice. We film almost every competition, and we film a lot of sideline stuff that our girls do at games.
Well, it's so important though, because everybody's got emotion. Everybody's got a feeling of what they think happened, but that eye on that camera does not lie. And it's so valuable to have that later.
Right. So we like to get home from competition and we pick that baby apart. So we do a competition routine, which is a 2-minute and 30-second routine with about maybe a minute 45 of that is music. And then smack dab in the middle for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds is our cheer. And so Scott and I will sit at home and we will break that thing down and then we'll bring it into Monday. We show the kids the video. They usually can point out, we kind of ask them, you know, what do you see that you guys could do better? And then we typically agree with them. We maybe have a couple other nitpicky things we need to work on. And then we're ready to get back to work. You know, my kids work really hard and our weights coach is really good about complimenting the girls. You know, he tells them they're the hardest working athletic team in the school, which makes me so proud because I hope that I've instilled in them, they're not going to get anywhere without working hard outside of the gym. So that means in weights class, that means in the classroom. So it's an interesting dynamic, but I wouldn't want to do this with anybody else because there's an intensity that comes with it. And I know if I'm in a grumpy coach mood, I can lean on him to be the happy coach for the day, because the kids don't deserve that. You know, not all of us coaches have perfect days every day. And there's a lot of leaning on each other. There's a lot of trust there with having an assistant coach. And I would like to say we have a good dynamic as far as building a culture, building a family, making sure all these kids feel included. And I mean, we just try the best we can. We're not perfect at it, but I think it's a good dynamic, and we really enjoy doing it together. Now, the two teams I coached before Douglas County High School, I did by myself, and I always came home right after practice, and I was like, Scott, will you look at this? Scott, will you do that?
Sure.
Scott, what do you think of this? And I would just pick his brain, but I could tell he wasn't fully invested because it wasn't his team. So now that we have this team together, and I remember right when we got the coaching position, I told Scott, I was like, well, how long do you think you want to do this? Because we don't have kids yet at the time. We want to start a family. Do we do this for a couple years? And Scott, being the typical diehard, all-in person that he is, was like, oh, we're going to do this for at least 10 to 15 years. We really got to be in there and do this. And I was like, okay, all right, well, we're in here. Let's do this. So it's been a lot of fun.
Coming back, we still have a few more things to talk with Coach Borgmeyer about. I actually want to ask her, you know, we see it in like the movies. We see some of those things where they have the rivalries with the other cheerleaders. I want to know if that's actually a true thing. And I want to ask her about some of the superstitions that her team might have. I've heard that cheerleaders have a lot of superstitions. We're going to be talking about that and a lot more when we get back. Now, let's rejoin our conversation with Douglas County cheerleading coach, Lauren Borgmeyer. Coach, I want to pick your brain a little bit on the sport that you coach specifically, because I won't pretend to know anything about cheerleading. I know nothing about it whatsoever. I have coached team sports though, and I would imagine that when you go through that tryout process, you are looking for very, very similar things for your team that we looked for our team. You're obviously looking for talent. You're looking for coachability. You're looking for work ethic. You're looking for someone that's going to represent your program the right way. Are there certain traits though, within cheerleading that you're like, they have to have this. If they don't have this, we're not going to have a chance to keep them on the team. Is there something other than those things, maybe specifically, that you're looking for in your kids?
You know, I don't think it's much different than the team sports that you've coached. We do look for those kids that are talented. Just like you said, I like a kid that's outgoing. I like a kid that can't stop smiling, because that's a huge part of cheerleading, is not being able to take a smile off your face. But I like a kid with a good work ethic. And typically, if you can get a kid like that, maybe even a shy kid that has some talent, has a good work ethic, but maybe isn't super outgoing, they still hold a very key value in a team balance. You can't have a team of 20 outgoing kids. You know, that's just unrealistic, right? Sure. But I know that I stress to the girls when we are going through the tryout process, I want you to be not only a good athlete, but in cheerleading, you need to be one of the ambassadors of your school. You need to be a leader. And that doesn't necessarily mean you need to be a leader with the things you're saying, but it definitely means you need to be a leader in your actions. So always going to class, having good grades, maybe in your group of friends, you're the one to make the right decisions. So I definitely hold these kids to a higher standard. All of the typical stuff, you know, the no drinking, no smoking, no nonsense outside of cheer. But it's been fun over the last 4 years watching these kids truly take that in and take a pride in that and be like, well, that team over there, they like to party on the weekends, but we're too cool for that. We don't need to party. We're just happy being kids, you know?
Sure.
So I wouldn't say we look for anything different, really. It sounds like,
yeah, it's the same things, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You just want them to be good kids and good leaders.
Coach, in sports, we usually, not always, we usually see the most talented team wins, but like I said, not always. Sometimes the most talented team doesn't work hard enough, and sometimes chemistry can make the difference. Now, I know in basketball chemistry was important, but I would think chemistry for your sport specifically might be one of the most important things, because you aren't like figuratively trusting each other. You are literally trusting each other sometimes from hitting the ground. They don't have to be the best of friends, but that trust and respect that comes with chemistry, I would think has to be super, super important to you so that your kids can go out and execute with the highest confidence.
chemistry is everything in cheerleading. And I have a really good example of that because it just kind of happened back to back years. So the team we coached 2 years ago, we had a lot of seniors. We probably had 6 or 7 seniors, 6 of them on the mat. So on our competition mat, we have 12 kids. So you can imagine 6 of them being seniors. We're stacked with talent. This is going to be an incredible season. So I met with those seniors at the beginning of that year, and I just kind of said, hey, there's a lot of strong personalities in this room. If you guys can work together and make this work, you will be unstoppable this season. But if you let your own attitudes get in your own way, if you let your own egos get in your own way, we're not going to get anywhere. So the season goes on. They have some successes. They have some misses. That's okay. Every miss we have is a learning opportunity to grow. We get to nationals. And at nationals, there's usually prelims, semis, and finals. There's usually about 80 teams in our prelims, and then it gets down to about 15 for finals. So this team, throughout the season, had a lot of conflict internally, and it was mostly between the seniors. So I would remind them often, like, guys, hey, you got to put your bull crap aside, come to practice, do your job, and go home. You don't need to do more than that. We don't need to have this extra girl teenage stuff, right?
Right.
So we get to nationals. They're vibing, they're working, they look good. We go to prelims, we hit, which is a perfect routine, right? Nothing hit the floor, no deductions. The judges loved it. Not only did they hit, but they hit so hard that they got to go straight through to finals, which is the first time in history of Douglas County High School that that had ever happened. So we thought, holy cow, they got their crap together. They did it. Now we just need to do the same thing in finals. So we get to finals. We're pumped. We're sitting top 3 in the nation. And we're like, if we hit, we can win. If we just do a simple thing, like hit this routine that you've been doing for 9 months, you could be a national champion. Well, a couple things didn't go right for us that morning. Typically, we do an outside warm-up, a back room, inside warm-up, and then go compete.
Okay.
Well, it's Florida, so it's raining, and we don't get to do our outside warm-up. I start seeing a little freak out on the faces. And I'm like, hey, listen, you've done this routine a million times. You don't need your outside warm up. We will be okay just doing our inside warm up. Get your heads on right. We'll do this just fine. So we get into finals and we drop. And then we drop again.
Oh, no.
And then we drop one more time. And I was like, wow, that is the worst we've done all season. Huh. And all I could come back around to was the team chemistry.
Yeah.
All season, it just wasn't there. We tried, we pushed for it, but at the end of the day, if the kids don't want it, it's not going to happen.
No, you're right.
So with that team in particular, it was just a chemistry thing. They didn't have the chemistry. So fast forward to this last year. We lost all 6 of those seniors, right? We lost all of that talent. So we're thinking, all right, let's get locked and loaded. This is going to be not necessarily a rebuilding year, but at the same time it was. We had a lot of new faces on the competition mat. We had a lot of fresh talent that needed to be polished and refined, but our leadership was a little different. We only had 2 seniors and we had 6 juniors that have been with me as a coach for the last 3 years. So they know what we expect. They know the type of mentality that we coach. And they know that we don't like the bull crap that right. comes with, you know, teenagers and coaching and sports. From the very beginning, this team outworked any of the teams I had coached before. They had this positive attitude every day at practice. And they had this chemistry that was absolutely unmatchable. But this team was also a little different as we went to every competition and we couldn't hit to save our lives. We would hit at practice. They would be pumping each other up. They never tore each other down when things went wrong. They were just like, hey, it's okay. Get it the next time. Like that was new for them. The year before, they weren't like that at all. It was, you're the reason that dropped. You're the reason that we failed. You're the reason we didn't win. And it's crazy that even in just a year later, that mentality totally switched. So make this long story longer. This team and the chemistry they had took them to nationals. Keep in mind, they had only hit once all season. Typically, they've hit at competitions like 6 times by this point.
Okay.
But we get to nationals and we get to finals and they hit harder than they had ever hit before. And that earned them 3rd place in the nation.
Wow.
And all it was a different chemistry.
Sure.
They weren't more talented than the team before. They didn't have really any different tools in their tool belt. They just made the conscious decision every day that they were going to get along, they were going to push each other, and that they weren't going to let themselves be like the team like it was before. And that was a really cool turning point as a coach to watch that turnover happen.
And that's such a great point, because hard work and chemistry can hide flaws that maybe people can't see.
Yeah.
You know they're there as a coach, but when they just work hard and they have that chemistry, it hides so many things just every single day. Coach, you're in a different kind of sport. I'm used to a sport with a scoreboard. I look up and I say, okay, we're down by 6. We've got to score 6 to catch up. I was thinking about this the other day. You don't have a scoreboard.
Right.
But when you don't have a scoreboard, you can't have an off day. In basketball, we play a bad first half. We're down by 12. Okay, we might come back in the second half and get a win. If you have a bad first half, it's kind of over. It's really tough to make that up. Now, what separates the good from the great in like a routine? So I'm watching. I don't know what I'm watching. Like they're flipping. They're doing the stunts. They're doing it. Is there something specific, just like the lay person, the average lay person can just watch and say, is it the timing? Is it how together they are? Like, what am I looking for?
Well, I would say for cheerleading, this is one of the toughest parts about it. If you aren't having a perfect day in this routine, mental toughness is everything.
Yeah.
Mental toughness is absolutely everything in this sport, because if you don't have short-term memory when you're on that mat, you are going to completely wreck your team. So we preach mental toughness a lot to these kids. We teach them to, you know, have that short-term memory of kind of closing the door behind everything they do. So let's say the opening part of their routine, they have standing tucks, they go do their elites, and then they have running tumbling. Well, let's say in the stunting portion, we have a drop. I have to tell those kids to get rid of it, close the door, and they still have a whole routine they can still hit and recover. Now, at regionals, it's okay to have a couple blips like that.
Okay.
You got to start conditioning these kids out of those blips. Essentially, you have to have them doing these routines perfect so many times that they don't know how to get it wrong anymore.
Okay.
So that's kind of the key there. But, you know, you're asking, what are you looking for as far as the spectator?
Sure.
Timing is everything. Everything needs to have perfect on speed timing the entire time. So it's a little different than maybe a volleyball or a basketball game where you have some kids have their spotlight moment. For cheerleading, the kids have to look uniform with everybody around them their entire time, from the stunts in the air to how they walk to the next spot to being upside down, flipping and twisting at the exact same time on the same count. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of detail that goes into coaching a competition routine, but it is so fun to watch them grow from regionals in October to nationals in February, and just kind of seeing how well they adapt to the coaching and how they apply it and how they do improve. Now, I know what the judges are looking for, because I was a judge. I judged cheerleading for about 5 years. All over the country. And I'm glad I did, because now as a coach, I know exactly what they're looking for. And it's nitpicky stuff, but at the end of the day, it works. It works. And you make a good looking routine. And then like our girls, you get to show off a little bit on ESPNU. So that's exciting.
Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. And I've been wrong like once or twice before, but I have heard some horror stories about injuries in cheerleading. And when I watch some of the things that you all do, I'll be honest, I hold my breath. There are times I look away because there is like legitimate danger. Are you having like some serious injuries in this sport?
You know, I think progressions are everything. You know, you don't teach a kid to dunk before they do a layup, right?
Sure.
So Scott and I spend a big, big part of the beginning of our season just teaching progressions. And I go back to this little girl I coached at Wichita Collegiate. I came into practice on one of those first days and I said, all right, we're going to do walk-in preps, which is going to mean nothing to you, but I'll get to it. And she looked at me and she goes, well, we don't do preps. And I said, I'm the new coach.
Oh, wow.
We will do preps. So preps are one of the basics and fundamentals of cheerleading before you start building up into stunting with extensions, with twisting, with switching body positions, transferring weight skills, all kinds of things. So we spend a lot of time on basics and fundamentals. And I'm telling you, that takes months of work. That's why the pandemic has been a little stressful, because if we had our typical season right now, we would be grinding out basics and fundamentals. And I do not let the girls move on until they have perfected those and they can do those in their sleep. So for us, that prevents a lot of injuries. I know there's a lot of coaches out there that maybe don't have the full knowledge that Scott and I have, because again, we cheered in high school, we cheered in college, we cheered professionally for UCA, and then we judged, and now we're coaching. So we have an insane amount of experience for almost being 30. But I feel like that knowledge has prevented us and kept us away from kind of that stigma with cheerleading of, the injuries, the concussions, yeah. This, that. I have to knock on wood, but I would say we maybe have I could probably count on my hand how many injuries we have each year. And it's usually something fluke, like the girl was walking into practice and she rolled her ankle. Or maybe we are getting in a ton of reps and we have some exhaustion set in and then we kind of have to tone it down from there. But we've been lucky. We've been lucky, but I think we've been lucky because we take the proper progressions to make it safe, but also take our time before we make something super elite.
It's amazing how lucky you get when you prepare really well and you work really hard, isn't it?
It is amazing.
It's really shocking. You're like, yeah, I don't know how. We just keep lucking out and getting lucky all this time. But yeah, a lot of that just goes back to preparation. It goes back to hard work. Now, you talked about earlier, you do still support, you're on the sideline for certain sports. Are there sports that you prefer to support? Like, are there certain sports you really like being at? Are there certain ones that maybe are like, I don't really care if we're at that sport? I would imagine your husband went to Kansas, you went to Wichita State. I would think basketball's got to be pretty high on your priority list, isn't it?
You already know. See? So we love basketball season. We're Kansas kids. We all grew up with a basketball hoop in our front yard.
Sure.
So when I was a little girl, my dad was the high school basketball coach. So not up until fourth grade, I wanted to be in the WNBA. But at the time, I didn't know the WNBA exists. So I wrote on all my papers, I wanted to be in the NBA.
Of course.
But no, we love, love, love watching basketball. But honestly, we love watching all of our sports. I love watching the kids in our school. And I love, now that I have a relationship with a lot of the kids in the school, I love watching all of the kids. I love watching our football team and supporting them. I love watching our volleyball girls. I love watching our women's basketball that's gotten so good over the last few years, as well as our men's basketball. So those are the four sports we do, one male, one female in the fall.
Okay.
And then we also support one male, one female sport in the winter. And then that keeps us very busy. But our kids do a great job of just constantly making noise, constantly making the student section yell with us, constantly making almost the parents feel uncomfortable because they're being yelled at so much to yell with us. They're like, okay, we don't really have another choice, so we will finally yell with you. But they do a great job, and we don't just go all out for football games. We have signs, palms, megaphones. We take all of that stuff to every game we cheer at. You know, we really try to support all of the teams that we do support equally. So we're making just as much noise at a volleyball game as we would be at a football game. Same thing for women's basketball is as much as men's basketball. So that's probably the best part of our job is if you're good at supporting your school, being the ambassadors of your school, being the leaders of your school, you get the opportunity to go compete. So really competition, I know we've talked a lot about cheerleading competition, but that's not even our number one job. So for them to do well and be nationally ranked, but that's not even their number one job, just kind of goes to show like what incredible athletes these kids are. Like what other athletes are required to go support the football team, jumping around, throwing skills, burning off energy. There isn't. So that's why cheerleading is so much more than just a sport. It just is more. It's more than that. No other sport does what we do.
Well, and I can tell you from the other side, to have that group that comes in and brings energy to your building, not just for the players, but like you talked about, for the kids in the stands, for the parents in the stands, to get them involved, to make them feel like they are a part of what's going on the floor. When you get all that stuff coming together, it is pretty special. It is pretty amazing when everybody is kind of, you know, pulling in that same direction. It's one of the reasons that we like sports. Now, I asked you what you like. You know, you talked about basketball. I've got to ask you something else. I always laugh at sports movies. Hollywood has no idea what they're doing when it comes to sports movies. But there's always, you know, the cheerleading rivalry. You hate that other cheerleading squad. You don't have to name any names. Is there a cheerleading squad you hate? Be honest. Is there someone out there that you, oh, can't stand that school? You don't have to. Well, you can if you want to. You can absolutely say.
I won't drop names, but there are other squads that you're just like kind of rolling your eyes at because Scott and I like to keep things professional. So we are never those coaches on social media that are like, this is how we do things. We do things correctly. You should do what we do. This is how you do it. Like, we are so not preachy people, but it has been interesting coming into Colorado and seeing some of the other, you know, area high schools or high schools in other parts of the state almost kind of pull like a Peter Pan shadow. We'll do something online or we'll do something at camp. And then we see somebody else do the same thing.
Oh. And
honestly, it's a huge compliment.
Sure, sure. You have
they're
to take
looking
it that
at
way.
Us and they're like, well, they're doing it right. That's how we should do it. And there's no better form of flattery. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there are teams that I'm just like, sigh, big sigh.
Right.
But for the most part, the cheerleading community is pretty cool because when it comes to nationals, we're all very, very supportive of Colorado schools. You know, we go watch each other compete. We're all rooting for each other. And it's a really cool thing. It's different at state. I would say at state, everybody kind of has their gloves up and they're like,
yeah,
you know, come at us. There's only five spots in finals. Like, don't mess with me type of a thing. But it's just it's the beauty of competitive nature.
Now, I've got to put you on the spot here. I am told, okay, and I don't know this, I am told that cheerleaders as a group, pretty superstitious. Do you have any superstitions that you have to follow, you know, on competition day or anything like that? Do you have these things you have to go through?
Yeah, my kids are nuts, man. They are crazy about the superstitions. So I have one athlete that has to have a sip of Dr. Pepper the day she competes. Don't know why, but the days that she forgot to have a sip of Dr. Pepper, she drops in competition.
Oh,
so
no.
I will say, like, at nationals, I'd be like, hey, somebody get her a Dr. Pepper. This group over here, hang on. I'll come pray with you. These two over here, go do your special handshake. This girl right here does like a pounding on the mat and then like points up to God. They are the most stitious. And I would say it really comes out at nationals because they this year didn't hit in prelims, but earned a spot in semis, which was great. And all of a sudden, they went into semis and they hit. Well, everything they did leading up to semis, they had to do leading into finals.
Of course.
Because they wanted another good hit. So they cracked me up because I feel like normally I'm not a superstitious person, but I blame the girls. And I also blame my husband because he won't wear the same shirt twice if we've dropped in it.
Oh, so boy. You've got it on all sides then. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to get around it.
Right. Very stitious. Very stitious now.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
That's funny. Now, Coach, before you go, you have a podcast as well. We want to make sure that we tell everyone what that podcast is. And you also have a YouTube channel. Can you please tell us about those? Because there may be some people listening that are looking for exactly what it is you offer. What is the name of your podcast?
Sure. So our podcast is called The Mark Through, and through is T-H-R-U.
Okay.
We also have a YouTube channel that is, you can just search The Mark Through and you'll find us. My husband had a crazy idea, you know, about a year ago. He was like, this doesn't exist. There is not a cheerleading podcast out there. We need to do this. So of course we did. And it's hard to keep up with now because we have a little baby, but we actually just released another episode last night and we talked to a couple of our friends about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Okay.
And how they have had to deal with some racism within the cheerleading industry. So they're incredible people. So that was a really good interview, but thanks for plugging us.
Of course. And I've listened to your podcast. You do a phenomenal job. And again, you're doing things the right way. You're going about trying to help kids. You're trying to teach kids life lessons, obviously, in addition to what they do in the athletic venue. But we both know at best, the athletic stuff lasts another 10, 15 years at the most if things go perfectly. Otherwise, it's probably going to be another 2 or 3 years, but maybe they take something else with them. And so when I talk to you, I could just tell you guys are doing things the right way. And I have an appreciation for that. So if you want to go check them out, make sure you check out the podcast. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel and subscribe over there because they're doing a really, really good job. And if you have a young one that's involved in cheerleading, you're going to definitely want to make sure that you have that. Coach, I hope going forward that you can get back to normal. I know the pandemic has everything, you know, kind of shut down and slowing down. I know they're starting to ease back into things, but I'm really hoping that you can get back to things very soon. I wish you all the best this season. Know this, know that we're cheering for you. Please stay in touch, but thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose and giving us some insight into the world that is cheerleading because I don't know anything about it.
No problem. Well, thank you again so much for having me on. It was so fun running into you randomly and the fact that we just got to talking and we're both like, oh, we both have sports podcasts. This is awesome. So it is truly my honor. And thank you so, so much for having me.
Hey, next week on The Dose, it is nearly July 4th. I don't even know how that's possible, but we just might have something, let's say, very American for you next week. And we will, of course, be covering sports as only we can. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube, subscribe to our Daily Dose channel, look for our Daily Dose logo, and I will leave links for you so that you can get the correct one. Have to say thank you so much to Coach Lauren Borgmeyer for stopping by and playing with us this week. We are absolutely cheering for you this year. Have to say thanks to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every single week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to that YouTube channel. And thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.